Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chipped ham and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. Thanks for joining us again, everybody. I know everyone on Earth has a podcast, so we do appreciate you checking out ours here. As always, I'm Brian Batko of the Post Gazette, joined today by Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports. She specializes in the NFC North, so we're going to get into a plethora of topics. Well, it's November, I guess, so I should call it a cornucopia of topics. Carmen, thanks so much for being here. How are you?
I'm good. I've got the decorations going and everything, so I'm really in the spirit of fall and Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff.
My three-year-old this morning wanted to start decorating for Christmas already. We've never been those people, but like, he's just so, I told him, I was like, Thanksgiving is first. He's like, yeah, but can I decorate for Christmas early? I'm just like, all right, I guess we can get a few things. But he wanted the tree, and I said, no tree just yet.
No tree yet.
I'll send him to your place then.
I was going to say, I'm about to decorate for Christmas, so I can't talk because it just brings me a lot of joy. And it doesn't mean that I skip over Thanksgiving, but I will also be working on Thanksgiving because I work on pretty much every Thanksgiving. And speaking of the NFC North, yeah, the Green Bay Packers are going up to Detroit for the Thanksgiving. So those are my plans. Although Christmas now has the last few years have had games on it, and it's not quite the holiday it is when you work in the sports industry.
For sure. And the Steelers are in Seattle over New Year's this year. So, yeah, the holidays from the NFL season are just are not the same. But, yeah, we'll kick around some Steelers-Packers on this episode. Maybe a little Josh Dobbs is back in the spotlight. Yeah. A little Steelers-Bears trade speculation that didn't come to pass. Really just about every team in the NFC North kind of piques our interest in some way at the moment. And all our talk today is presented by Pella. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to find the right product for your home and your budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. So Carmen, anytime we have national folks on this show, I like to try to just start by getting a pulse for how the Steelers are perceived from the outside. I mean, obviously you focus on a different division, not even AFC division, but just from your perspective, like, what are your thoughts from afar on the Steelers, or particularly Kenny Pickett, who we followed every game of here in this media market for the past 7 years at this point? I'm just curious, you know, regardless of how much Steelers football you've seen to this point in 2023.
I don't know what kind of deal the Steelers made in the beginning of the season. I don't know what kind of blood magic they've been up to in spooky season, but the fact that they're 5-3 and they rank in the bottom third in every major category, offensive and defensively. I don't know what to make of the Steelers, quite honestly. Obviously, Mike Tomlin is such a great, he's a well-revered coach, well-respected coach across the league, and he seems to kind of pull these positives out of every season. He seems to have, obviously, he has a winning record every season, and nobody knows quite how he's doing it, and this year is no exception. This year might be the most confusing year, given the fact that the Steelers just can't muster much on offense. Kenny Pickett's not doing well. Everybody wants to fire Matt Canada. I don't know. It's baffling to me from an outsider perspective.
Yeah, it's not any less confounding here. Like, the big stat that was making the waves after their Thursday night win against the Titans was outgained in their first 8 games, and they're the only team that can say that in NFL history, I believe, that also has 5 wins in their first 8 games. So, yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, any thoughts on Pickett, who I feel like there's some similarities, some parallels with Jordan Love that we can get into, but guys who are following the guy in that city and, you know, weren't highly drafted QBs back half of the first round. And yet I feel like the, you know, there's been some good and some bad. I know Jordan Love's numbers were pretty nice over the weekend, but, you know, is Pickett somebody who, like, does he move the meter at all for somebody who goes back and forth between, like you were telling me off air, Chicago and LA when he's over here in Pittsburgh?
Let's face it, though, the NFC North outside of the Packers hasn't really been used to good quarterback play. So they don't really know what good quarterbacks look like anyway. I grew up in Chicago, and that is just a notorious city for defense.
Long-suffering quarterback city.
Like, they are just – Chicago fans are just desperate for anybody. That's why they're still trying to make Justin Fields work and make all of the excuses under the sun for why he should stay and he hasn't gotten a fair shake and all that other stuff. But I think you bring up a good point in paralleling Kenny Pickett and Jordan Love. These are both guys, like you said, that are back of the first round, but they're still first round quarterbacks. And I mean, there was a reason that Jordan Love was taken when he was, and he had the opportunity to get a little bit more acclimated to his team and to learn his offense before he was actually going to become the guy.
Sure.
So when you take it from that perspective, I mean, what Kenny's been able to do the last couple of seasons is basically what he was drafted to do. But at the same time, the Steelers aren't scoring a ton of points. The production just isn't there offensively. And how much of that do you blame Matt Canada for? I think probably a lot. And then with Jordan Love, you know, he does have an offensive guru as his head coach and play caller. So I think that kind of has helped him a little bit more. Sunday was Jordan Love's third game this season of over having a passer rating of over 100. So that's a pretty good. I know that there's been some worries with his completion rate and all that other stuff, but at the same time, he's producing. They're finding ways to win games as they did against the Rams on Sunday. There was a little bit of a skid there. I don't think people quite know what to make of Jordan Love yet, but Packers fans, I don't know if Steelers fans are like this too. We're very anxious to make a judgment and to get an evaluation on Jordan Love.
It's a referendum every week. Referendum every week on Kenny Pickett, for sure.
And I'm just like, listen, Jordan Love has been in the NFL as a starter for less than half a season. You need to have some more patience here. So Green Bay fans, Pittsburgh fans, I think they all have that in common and just don't know what to make of their quarterbacks quite yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the Packers coming here Sunday, you know, they're in similar boats, albeit with the records flipped. I mean, they're franchises whose fan bases can be, let's just say, hard to please. They expect a lot. They're still both very much
spoiled.
In that
They've been spoiled in the
past. Yeah, you said it, not me. They're both still in that transition phase post-legendary QB. Like, you know, I asked you for your big picture thoughts on the Steelers. In fairness, mine on the Packers are one of the more just blah teams in the NFL right now. Jordan Love, you know, I've never really been a big Jordan Love believer because in the late stages of Ben Roethlisberger, every year's QB class, you know, there kind of had to be some analysis done by us in Pittsburgh of like, should they take a chance on this guy being the, you know, the bridge to the next generation? But, you know, it just feels like they're kind of in neutral right now. And, you know, yeah, Matt LaFleur is one of those coaches up there with Mike Tomlin in terms of overall record as long as they've been in the chair. But it does help when you have a future Hall of Famer taking those snaps. And, you know, the Packers are coming off probably one of the more blah wins of the weekend, too, although it wasn't their fault that they faced a Rams team with Brett Rippon at quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and the thing was, you saw the Packers finally do what they were supposed to, though.
Yeah.
In that the defense stepped up, albeit against a backup. I understand that. Allowed just 3 points throughout the game. I mean, the Rams just couldn't get anything going, although it still kind of seemed like a tough-fought win for the Packers. But, I mean, you know, 13 of their points didn't come until, I believe, the second half, and 10 of those 13 points came in the fourth quarter. That's kind of been a trend so far with the Packers is they just kind of take a while to figure things out. But the difference was – Jordan Love finally got to lean on the people and the guys that the Packers said he was going to be able to lean on. He was able to lean on the defense, who is, you know, not only were they limiting the points that the Rams were scoring, they actually mustered a couple of takeaways, and the Packers, lo and behold, got 10 points off of those two takeaways. And that's something that the Packers have been struggling with all year, is just generating takeaways. That's not something the defense has been able to do, which is why it's so blah. And then you also had the run game. You had Aaron Jones have 20 touches on the ground alone, had 99 yards from scrimmage. He was finally the guy that, you know, Jordan Love could lean on and took some of the heat off of him. I think the split that I saw is 26 pass attempts by Jordan Love and 38 rushes between Aaron Jones and the rest of the backs. So Matt LaFleur afterwards said, you know, we were trying to pass the ball in that first half. Good things weren't happening. We need to keep doing this with Aaron Jones. And if they do, they are going to be a pretty complete team for the Steelers defense to have to contend with, and for any team to have to contend with. And I don't know why they've been making themselves one dimensional with a rookie quarterback, essentially rookie quarterback, I should say, and making things harder on him when they should be trying to help him out every step of the way.
Yeah, maybe they're finding their recipe for the rest of the way, but it won't be easy against the Steelers defense that, you know, I imagine they also would have cooked Brett Rypien, but we will never know, because they had to face Matt Stafford a few weeks ago in L.A. And to their credit, they did get the job done. But, you know, you mentioned the Packers, what was it, 20-3. The Steelers haven't blown out anybody this season. So that's one more double-digit win than Pittsburgh has. So at least they've got that going for them. Second half of the show, we are going to get into some of those other storylines that don't pertain to this game specifically. But first, a quick word from Goldberg, Persky, and White. If you were diagnosed with mesothelioma or lung cancer, call your local attorneys at Goldberg, Persky, and White. For over 40 years, their firms represented thousands of lung cancer and mesothelioma victims. Call 1-800-COMPLEX or visit gpwlaw.com for a free consultation. Also, a word from Propel Schools. Their 13 public charter schools in Allegheny County built a solid academic foundation for lifelong learning and offer more personalized instruction at every level for your child's kindergarten through 12th grade education journey. Give your children the quality education they deserve by visiting Propel Schools, and you can apply at propelschools.org. Carmen, let's start with one of the better stories of the week right now in the NFL. We can both agree that, you know, the Packers win wasn't much to write home about, even though they needed it. The Steelers haven't played since Thursday, but all eyes Sunday were on Josh Dobbs, former Steelers draft pick way back in 2017. It's now 2023, and I'd say 6 years later, he probably just had the best game of his career. What can you tell us about what Dobbs did for the Vikings on Sunday, and like, what's the vibe for him the rest of this season in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins lost to that torn Achilles?
I can't overstate how well Josh Dobbs did on Sunday and how hard what he did is. To come in, I mean, he's talking about after the game how he's never taken a snap from Garrett Bradbury, the Vikings center. He's never, the offensive line has never heard Josh Dobbs' cadence. Josh Dobbs has never thrown to any of these receivers before, and they don't know the ins and outs and all that stuff. Josh Dobbs doesn't even know the language that he is trying to operate and speak. He doesn't have the playbook, you know, and he comes from a drastically different system in Arizona. So it was so incredible to see him rise to the occasion and to see the team rally around him. Again, I cannot overstate how hard what Josh Dobbs did on Sunday was. And then I don't think anybody had the expectation that the Vikings were going to come away with a win. I was even saying this week that Josh Dobbs is a placeholder for Minnesota. I don't necessarily think that's not true anymore, just because, you know, he pulled out this wonderful win. But I'm not going to, you know, harp on that because it's a wonderful story. I do think that it's a way for Minnesota to keep all of their options open. And that's why they had Jaren Hall start that game. I think that's getting, you know, lost in this, is that Jaren Hall, their rookie fifth round pick out of BYU, was the one that started this game and then got out with a concussion. So Josh Dobbs was just thrown in there completely not expecting to play. And I still think that this is a way for Minnesota to figure out maybe what they have in Jaren Hall. But I think Dobbs has kind of made the case for, like, no, you don't need to see what you have in this rookie. If anything, you have me right now. And if you're not going to go out and get a better quarterback, like, I'm at least the second best option at this point come the end of the season. So it was an incredible feat. Really love to see him. I mean, this man is a little rocket scientist. He's like, yeah, he's going to go work for NASA when he's done with this.
Guys around the league, like, you can't hear a bad word about him. He's been on a bunch of different teams now. And like you said, he's kind of just been a placeholder everywhere he's been. He was a nice little Cinderella story the first few weeks for the Cardinals, but everybody always kind of anticipated Kyler Murray's going to come back for a team that probably rather lose more than they win this year anyway. But yeah, pretty remarkable for Dobbs having just gone to the Vikings in that deadline deal. And at most, maybe he passed by Jordan Addison in the parking lot at the Pitt Steelers facility.
Right. He didn't know these defense full names. He didn't know his like receivers full names. He just saw the names on the back of the jersey. He was like, you, Bradbury, over here.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have doesn't even have the luxury of just seeing Jefferson and throwing to that because the NFL's leading returning receiver also out for the Vikings. So you know maybe they'll be one of the fun stories here over the second half. Not so fun of a story is we mentioned them briefly earlier. The Bears, where you are. I mean, as we go around the NFC North, I know the deadline was a week ago now, but this is my first show since then. And here in Pittsburgh, there was a lot of buzz about the Steelers sniffing around Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson. I mean, he ultimately didn't go anywhere. He stayed in Chicago. They made another move, bringing in Montez Sweat from Washington. Carmen, how much do you know about what actually transpired there, what the Bears may have been asking for, whether the Steelers might have been close? I can only assume that after last year's Chase Claypool heist, maybe Chicago just blocked Omar Khan's number and he had to send a carrier pigeon to even inquire about any trades this year.
And they're a little salty about that trade, I can tell you that much. Just did not work out. But at the same time, I kept saying it too at the time. I'm like, if Mike Tomlin doesn't want this dude and Mike Tomlin can't make it work and Mike Tomlin made it work with Antonio Brown for as long as he did, there's issues. And clearly there were, but that's neither here nor there. That's been the past at this point. The Chicago Bears, I don't think ever wanted to and still don't want to let Jalen Johnson go. We heard that Ryan Poles said, you know, I think that in order to get the same caliber player to replace Jalen Johnson, that's a first or second round pick. And that's a steep price to pay for a guy that also, no matter what he says, I think wants to reset the corner market. Yeah. And does he have the body of work to substantiate that? I'm not so sure. I think he's a good corner on a bad team. And that kind of overinflates how good he looks necessarily. So I don't know what Jalen Johnson is asking for. Both sides said that, you know, they don't have a firm number, but Jalen Johnson did throw out a $30 million figure and he's like, I'm worth like $30 million. And I'm like, no one's worth $30 million. The highest paid corner right now, Jair Alexander in Green Bay, is making $21
million. Yeah.
So I think they're at odds as to how much Jalen is worth, which is very common, especially I feel like in the defensive skill positions and the offensive skill positions. But I don't think the Bears really had any intention of trading him. And I think that, I mean, Poles went out to LA. When he went out to LA when the Bears played the Chargers last Sunday, he met with Jalen's representation. That was part of the trip. That was part of the deal. Poles went out there especially for that in addition to the game. So they thought that they were kind of making progress. And then all of a sudden, Jalen Johnson was like, nah, I want to be traded. So I just don't think that Chicago had any intention of letting him go, still doesn't have an intention of letting him go. That was part of the reason you make you do the extension with Montez Sweat right away too, is so you have that franchise tag freed up if you need it for Jalen Johnson while you continue to try to hammer this out.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it comes into focus now why the Steelers, you know, weren't going to give up too much. If, you know, they're paying TJ Watt top of the line defensive money, $28 million a year for him. Alex Highsmith, the other edge rusher in Pittsburgh, just got a new deal. So can't imagine they are going to be eager to back up the Brinks truck for a corner at this point. And at that point, you know, then it would have been a rental. So what are you really going to give up at that point? So that makes sense. Thanks for filling us in on that, Carmen. As much as Steelers fans would have liked to have seen, another lockdown corner opposite Joey Porter Jr., that didn't come to pass. So, before I let you go, anything else you wanted to add either about Steelers Packers this weekend? You know, we've got Cam Sutton over in Detroit for the NFC North leading Lions. Looks like he's making a difference in the secondary. Anything you want to plug or tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, no, I mean, the Lions are a really fun team. I know we didn't really talk about them, but they're the most functional team in my division. So I really appreciate them for that.
Who would have seen that coming a couple years ago, too?
I know, especially because, yeah, they've been the picture of mediocrity for so long. But I really enjoy them. They're a fun team, regardless of if they're winning. I was in that locker room when they were going through their 1-6 skid earlier last season, and they were still joking around. I had guys asking me if I knew who Roddy Rich was, and they were laughing with each other and blasting music. And that's not a slight to the Lions. That's just how much they believe in each other. So they knew they were going to turn their season around. They sure they sure as hell did. And now they're the fun team in the NFC North. So those are my guys that I like to talk about more, but I understand they're on a bye.
Steelers only play the Packers this year in the North.
I know. There's not a whole lot of overlap between the NFC North and the AFC North this year, but I do think the Packers and Steelers game is going to be very interesting, and it's going to come down to just whoever is able to generate more takeaways as a defense.
The funny thing about these games is I bet both fan bases are saying, this is a game we can win. We should beat Jordan Love, or we should beat Kenny Pickett.
We should beat Kenny Pickett and an offense that's not even averaging 20 points a game. Yeah. I think that's absolutely the Packers' attitude right now. The Steelers have been very good at taking the ball away, if nothing else. So I just think that maybe the Packers should take a page out of the Steelers' defenses book. But at the same time, if you want to follow anything that I'm doing, Carmi V is me on Twitter and Instagram, CARMIEV. And that's where I talk about everything NFC North and basically NFL at large, especially if I find it funny.
Absolutely. And it was a funny weekend in a lot of ways. We had third string running backs kicking field goals and Josh Dobbs resurrecting the Vikings season. I was doing a lot of yard work while listening to Red Zone. So I was mainly just kind of keeping one ear on it, but it was a funny weekend for the Steelers to sit back and relax. Although every other team in the AFC North won, that seems to be the pattern that's going on right now in this division. Yeah. Nobody can really separate, but hey, Carmen, I won't keep you any longer. I know you've got a busy week like all of us do who cover the NFL, and you don't even get a bye week or Thursday night football. So thanks again. Really appreciate you taking some time out for us, and good luck the rest of the season. Okay.
Thank you. You guys too.
For sure. For Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports, I'm Brian Badko. Thanks for tuning in as always.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.